Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by our good friend Jonders and our good friend returning from the lights of Los Angeles, Skylar Burkhart. How you doing, Skylar?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I'm doing well. Jonders, what's up with you, man?
I'm doing fantastic as always. You know me.
Yeah, for sure. Seahawks brought in Brandon Marshall. I saw you were pretty hyped about that. So
you know, I've been trying to like temper my emotions on that, but when I saw the two of them in like their game jerseys staying next to each other, I was like, oh, it was so great. It really just kind of came out of me.
Yeah, for sure. Even though like I understand Brandon Marshall's personal significance to you, but I'm not sure if he's going to be a great player this year. But hopefully that works out for your team, the Seattle Seahawks, who played a preseason game on Thursday night. So did the Los Angeles Rams. I'm waiting for these Denver Broncos to play tonight. So I wanted to start out by just kind of general, like, around the horn really quick, like a general preseason like takeaway from maybe one of the games you watched. And I'll start with you, Skylar.
Just a quick rundown of the Rams preseason game. It was not anything I was expecting. It was very lackluster, especially at Sean Mannion at the helm. It just looked like the offense couldn't get anything going. Granted, almost all the starters were out except for Brown on the offensive line and then Ekbum on the linebacker core. So it was very lackluster indeed. Nothing to really take away from it except for Noteboom on the offensive line. He played excellent. That was probably the highlight of the preseason game. Other than that, it was more lackluster than anything.
Yeah. So I did have a question for you. On the other side of the ball, the Ravens, how did Lamar Jackson look?
He looked a lot more comfortable in this game than he did the last game. I saw a lot of progress, a lot of reads he was doing. He played a lot of check down, which is great for a young quarterback. I think he's learning really fast, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the next couple of preseason games as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, you can't take a whole lot away from the Rams there just because they didn't play many of their starters. Jonders.
Yeah, my notes for Lamar Jackson in that game were just that he looked smooth. I just love the way he kind of flows. I love watching him run. It's not even like he's running. He kind of just flows out. It looks beautiful.
Was his accuracy better? I haven't gotten around to that one on Game Pass yet. Was his accuracy a little bit better? Because that was a real like concern for me in the Hall of Fame game.
It looked better.
Yeah, it definitely was better.
Well, that's good to hear. Jonders, what would your preseason takeaway be?
Do you want to do it from my team
whatever,
or just anything?
Whatever you want to do, man.
My preseason takeaway is that the Cleveland Browns have not one quarterback, but they have two quarterbacks that can play in this league. I am so excited. I was watching Hard Knocks, right, last Thursday, and I was thinking, okay, the Browns are like 4 years away. Now I'm thinking they're 2 years away. I'm so excited to see what this team does. Tyrod Taylor was a top 10 pro football focus quarterback all last year. He showed it last night or two nights ago whenever he played. And Baker Mayfield, I think, is right there too. He was hitting guys in stride. I am so excited to watch what this team does this year.
Yeah, for sure. I've really enjoyed watching Baker Mayfield as well. Saquon Barkley, of course, had a great run in that game. I really enjoyed watching him. Davis Webb, as much as Giants like fans like to pump him up, he's not a decent backup or future quarterback. So that kind of like I was a heavy proponent of them drafting a quarterback, and I could see how if Eli Manning just walked away next year, they would be kind of screwed because they don't really have anyone behind him, and we're not even sure if Eli Manning can return to the stage he was. But other than that, Saquon Barkley looked great, and I think that'll probably end up being a good pick for them anyways. I like David Njoku. I think that he's really fun to watch.
Mayfield made a great throw to Njoku, and he made a contested catch in the end zone. And then later in the game, I know this was kind of third quarter and it was kind of against lesser talent, but Callaway, and I know he has his off-the-field issues right now, but he ran a slant, and it looked like it was Odell Beckham. Mayfield hit him in stride and he turned up the field and went for the end zone. I mean, it was like, I think it was from 50 yards out. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about that team.
That offense is going to be great. A lot of people don't talk enough about that offense with the Browns, but they have so much talent and so much weapons on there. It's going to be awesome to see what Baker Mayfield does with it this year.
You guys are right.
The defense was ready last year. I think the defense is already there. So if you can get the offense to win you some games, I don't know. I think – I'm not saying this is the year, but remember where we were with the Jaguars 2 years ago? I think that's where we might be with the Browns this year.
Hmm. Interesting.
So yeah. Still a year away, but, you know, you can see improvements.
Yeah, I will never buy into the Browns. Like, I will always cheer for the Browns. But I have been just burned too many times thinking that they'll show up and be an interesting team to ever say that until I see it. So
I did that last year with Kizer, quarterback, that first game against the Steelers. And I bought into it. I was like, Kizer looks really good. He's making really good reads. They almost beat the Steelers. And then they lost every game from there on out. So I've definitely felt that same pain of being scorned by him.
Yeah, for sure. So, Johnners, before I move on to my take, I know I can see it in your eyes. It's just a hunger that you need to talk about this man's. And I have been keeping his name off my lips because I hate talking about this guy because it's the same thing every year. Great in the preseason, never really carries over. Give me a Chris Carson update.
I'm opening up my Seahawks notes here, and why is Google taking so long? Ugh, my internet's not working. How's my internet working? I'm talking to you guys. All right. Well, I had that he's still powerful. He can move the pile. He's fast and fluid, makes great decisions, and his vision's great. So that's what I have.
Ooh. All right. But did he run okay?
Yeah, he looks like he shot out of a cannon when he finds the hole. I don't know what else you would want from him.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and I will not buy into Chris Carson for some reason. But I saw some highlights. I liked what I saw from him. I think for me, my takeaway would be that the Redskins became markedly less fun, in my opinion. Without Darius Geis, I was really excited for that team. I thought they could like maybe sneak in as a wild card, but now I'm kind of where people were with them like before the injury happened, like 6-10. So that's a real bummer.
Can I give you my dark horse for that running back position? It's Byron Marshall. In my notes, it just says he looks interesting, but with Geis going down, you know, it fills a hole because I don't know if Thompson's going to run between the tackles and Rob Kelly's always a, you know, fumble risk. So I think Byron Marshall's kind of an interesting guy to keep an eye out throughout the preseason.
Well, even with Kareem and Rob Kelly in there too?
I think Rob Kelly's always a, you know, he can't secure the football ever, it seems like. And I don't know. Well, I don't know about Kareem. I think Marshall is a dark horse because I think obviously he's not the obvious candidate. But I think he's someone to keep an eye out throughout the preseason and see what happens.
Yeah, I loved Samaje Perine, honestly. I watched a little bit of that game, and I liked what I saw from Samaje Perine. I thought that he looked really good. Sam Darnold, I guess that might be my other take. He looks really okay. I'm excited to see what he does for the Jets. 96 yards and a touchdown. Also, Teddy Bridgewater seems to be what they're advertising him as. So that looks good. And then also Kerryon Johnson. I'm big into Kerryon Johnson. I was before the preseason, and I'm still really into Kerryon Johnson. He had a good game last night again.
He was all over the field. I really like watching him on tape. He's really young and raw, but as the season goes on, he's going to get better. He's a really good receiver from what I saw in this preseason game.
He's more of a running back, I guess, but they did use him out of the backfield a little bit. I wonder if we're talking about the same person.
I think there's another Johnson that I'm thinking of. He caught the touchdown pass from Darnold. It was a pass interference call. I think his last name was Johnson as well. But the running back you're talking about, I know who you're talking about. They used him on the backfield, and he was really good.
Of the Detroit Lions. Yes, very good. Good stuff. All right, so that was our preseason week one takeaways. I'd probably have more because, like, the three teams I'm really interested in, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Chargers are all playing tonight. So less takeaways for me, but let's move on to the NFC West. both of you guys are NFC West fans. John is a diehard Seahawks fan. Skyler, a Rams fan. We are just going to kind of roundtable discussion this division, starting with, I want to know who you guys think has the best offense, and I'll start with you, Johnders.
I think that Sean McVay as the offensive coordinator kind of gives them an edge that the other three teams in the division don't have.
Right.
If you break it down, I think that the Cardinals have a better running back. I think the Seahawks have a better quarterback. Once you put everything in a bag and put it together, I think the Rams have, in totality, have the best offense. So I think it's the Rams.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was a dumb question to ask. So, Skyler, as a Rams fan, I want to ask you this. What's the one weakness you could potentially see on offense?
On offense, it's got to be our tight ends. Our wide receivers are pretty proven from what I've seen. It's just our tight ends really need to step up this year. Higbee was big for us last year, but Everett definitely needs to play a bigger role in the passing game for us.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I ask Skyler where he thinks Goff ranks in the division?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's always going to have that pedigree, especially with the Super Bowl ring on his hand, so I think he's the best quarterback in the division right now. After that, I really want to put Goff at second because I still want to see a couple more games out of Jimmy G, especially with this Niners offense now, that he's going to have a whole season with them under his belt. So I think I'm going to put Goff second, Jimmy G three, and then whoever's going to play quarterback for the Cardinals at four.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, yeah, I mean, I like the Rams, and the offense is very good. That was a kind of an easy question. So let's move on to the next one. The hottest seat in the division, and this doesn't necessarily have to be a coach. It can be a player. It can be a position group. Who has the hottest seat in the division right now, Skyler?
It's got to be Pete Carroll. I mean, he's got to get this together. I mean, the Seahawks are starting to fall apart. Their defense almost is gone from the last year and from the Legion of Boom as we knew it. And then it seems like they just neglected the offensive line again this year. And Russell Wilson has got to be tired of getting hit all the time and scrambling from the pocket. So I think he's on the hot seat this year.
Counter argument, Johnders.
Yeah, I don't think it's Pete Carroll. You just brought up the Super Bowl ring. I think that like if you look at someone like John Harbaugh, he's kind of been able to coast forever on that one ring. And I don't think the offensive line is going to be as terrible as it was last year. I think it could be mediocre to average. With Brown now playing left tackle, and then you're going to have Fant play right tackle. You just signed J.R. Sweezy, who was there for that Super Bowl. And if you get Posick to have a kind of a improvement from his first year onto his second year, I think it'll be better. I was watching the preseason game, and I was kind of down. And honestly, so I live in the Chicagoland, and I was thinking about, man, maybe I'm not going to buy tickets to that Monday night game in week two because I don't want to spend, the $300 and watch my team lose. But I know it's just the preseason, but I'll tell you what, man, I love the way the defense is flying to the ball. I think that having the Griffin brothers is going to kind of revitalize this team. And I was thinking about it. Pete Carroll's whole thing is always compete. That's how, famously Russell Wilson got the job. That's why we were even talking about Chris Carson, even though they just drafted Penny in the first round. And sometimes messages do get stale. And I think it's important to get new guys in as long as they can still play. And they still have Bobby Wagner, who I think is either one or two the best middle linebacker in the league. So you still have a foundational guy in Bobby Wagner on the defense. And if he can get everybody to buy in with his always compete mentality, I think they would have to have a 3-13 season for Pete Carroll to get fired. I think it would have to be a complete dumpster fire.
But it's definitely possible with the season. I mean, they have the receivers. They have the talent and offense as far as wide receivers and quarterback. And whoever knows with the Seahawks, they never draft a bad running back. They always have a good one, and they can never figure out which one they really want to focus on as a centerpiece of the offense.
I think the hottest seat for me would have to be the San Francisco 49ers defensive line. You look at the players that they have taken over the last few years in the draft, DeForest Buckner, I'm forgetting. Shoot. DeForest Buckner being the biggest one that's kind of – they've just been a little bit of a busty team when it comes to defensive draft picks. And, like, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, like, these were guys that were coming out of a draft that were picked super high, that were touted as, like, these – future all-pro defensive talents, and they just haven't been able to put it together. And it feels like this year is the year where that needs to happen, because if that doesn't happen, the defense looks kind of suspect outside of Richard Sherman, and we're not even sure if he can still play at full speed. So I think that for me, it's the San Francisco 49ers defensive line.
I don't know if you guys saw that. They were saying the defensive line for the 49ers could rival the defensive line with Aaron Donald on the Rams, they were saying. I was like, there's no way that they could replicate that.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, they could if they all played up to potential.
They have two Hall of Famers on the Rams defensive line. Like, right, like you have, they have two guys that are going to the Hall of Fame, and the 49ers just don't.
Yeah. They could get close, though, if everyone on that line played to their full potential, but they're on a hot seat because they haven't thus far. So, I mean, it's all about wait and see if they can prove it. We've gone with Skyler. Jonders, who's your hot seat?
Steve Keim. I think if Josh Rosen isn't the chosen one, as they like to say out there, that they have a big problem. The DUI situation doesn't help out any. The roster is very top heavy, and then once Larry Fitzgerald retires at some point, you have nothing at wide receiver. You don't really have anything at tight end, and I don't know. David Johnson's been an injury risk, and I love David Johnson. I think he's a top tier running back, not talked about enough, but letting people like Honey Badger go. Patrick Peterson's kind of the only name brand there now. I don't know. The roster's kind of in shambles, and I think it's pretty sneaky bad.
Sneaky bad. That's a nice little transition to our next topic, which is the Cardinals. And what are they? So, Jonders, you said they're a sneaky bad team. I disagree. I think that they have a lot of young talent. And I think you're right. This year, they might be bad. But I think a year or two down the line, they're back in the playoffs, to be completely honest with you. I just feel like they've got so much young talent. They've brought in Christian Kirk as a wide receiver, who might be a guy that replaces Larry Fitzgerald when he decides to retire. Their defense last year was so good, and it just didn't get a lot of pop because – they struggled with the offense. And Josh Rosen, I thought he was the best quarterback in this draft by far. And I'm excited to see him play tonight, because I think that they're not going to play Bradford a whole lot. But I really do think that Rosen is the real deal, and that he can impress and win the job and play well this year in Arizona. And it wouldn't shock me if they got like 5 or 6 wins. I think that's where the bar should be for this team this year. But I think like 2 years from now, they could definitely be back in a place where people are saying, hey, this is a top team in the NFC.
Well, it was hard for me to come up with a hot seat candidate for this division, because I think Carroll's kind of fine. But they need to hit on Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen needs to be the player that you think he is, because if he's not, you're going against Jimmy G, Jared Goff, and Russell Wilson, and that's not going to be a good thing. I don't know. Maybe their secondary is not as bad as I thought it was. I forgot that they had Trey Boston.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson is still a top 10 NFL corner in my mind. Still a shutdown guy. I mean, they're not – you're right. They are definitely not going to be good this year. Like, they are not going to make playoffs or sniff the playoffs. But they're going to be like a mediocre, like, 6-7 win team, I think.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
What about you, Skyler? What are some of your thoughts on the Cardinals?
I like how the Cardinals address the wide receiver position with Christian Kirk. I think he's going to be a good wide receiver in this league. Josh Rosen was iffy to me, but I think it was, in all, the perfect fit for the Cardinals. It was their best option to get for quarterback. I've never agreed with Steve Keim. You know, living in Arizona here, I hear about him all the time. The decisions he makes, a lot of them are head scratchers for what he does. The offensive line finally was addressed this year. They got a lot of big name players out there that are quality starters. And I think it's good to keep Sam Bradford upright and also protect Josh Rosen when he comes in. I think the wide receiver position should have been addressed way earlier. Their defense keeps getting addressed. They have a lot of quality starters, but the offense definitely needs to be addressed more to keep a more high-powered offense in this NFL. And like you said, David Johnson is an injury concern. He also is older. He came into the NFL a lot older than most running backs, so you don't have a lot to get out of him before he hits that 30 mark, and most running backs die off after 30. So it's definitely interesting to see what the Cardinals are going to do in this situation, if they're going to pay him or just franchise tag him until he hits that 30 mark and let him go.
And in the show notes, you asked, what are they? And their identity better be David Johnson, at least for the next 2 years, especially while you're grooming Josh Rosen. So they need to kind of turn this into the 2012 Seahawks, where the identity is Marshawn Lynch, the identity is David Johnson, and then you can kind of build up your quarterback throughout those years.
Right, for sure. So now that we've gotten through that, let's start with you, Skyler. Who do you think's the breakout star of this division? A guy that maybe not a whole lot of people know but might break out and really turn some heads.
I want to say Christian Kirk. I think it's the obvious answer. I mean, he needs to be the focal point on offense as wide receiver besides Larry, because all the attention's either drawn to Larry or Johnson. So Christian Kirk really needs to step up and be that breakout star, which I think he's going to be. He could be a potential 1,000-yard receiver this year.
What about you, Johnders?
Would you be upset if I said Chris Carson?
Go for it.
I'm in love with this man. I think that he shows a unique combination of power and speed. He's a smart runner, and I just think it's Chris Carson.
Chris Carson. All right. I'm going to show the San Francisco 49ers some love, and I'm going to say Joe Williams, the second-year running back out of Utah. He didn't really play last year, and they have Jerick McKinnon, but they need a between-the-tackles back, and that's what Joe Williams can provide them, where McKinnon's going to be, I would guess, more used in the passing game with Kyle Shanahan's offense. So I think McKinnon might get more of a workload, but I think Joe Williams can definitely be a guy that kind of pops out of a woodwork and becomes a guy that is respected as a starting caliber running back in the league this year, because he's really the guy behind Jerick McKinnon. I feel like they have some other depth there, but I feel like Williams is the best suited to be like a between the tackles running back in the NFL.
Hey, did either of you guys watch the 49ers game Thursday?
I did.
What did you think of Jimmy Garoppolo? Because in my notes, it says he was all over the place.
I mean, it's a preseason. You can't.
All right.
I honestly, like, quarterback play, unless you're a rookie, like, I just don't take a lot from it. Joe Williams, though, he ran really well, and I take a lot away from running backs in my preseason, so I think that Joe Williams is a guy. But, yeah, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's an interesting topic. Where do we think he is at the end of next season as far as a stat line goes? Give me a stat line, both of you. I'll start with you, Skyler.
I mean, it's hard to put a stat line on him. I take a lot away from a quality starter quarterback in the preseason. If you're in there and you've been with some of these receivers, you should put on a better show instead of being all over the place. You should know where to anticipate and whatnot. Granted, you don't know your receivers too well, some of the newer faces, so I can understand that, but I think he needs to come out a better showing in the preseason. As far as stat line, I could see – maybe a little over 3,500-yard passing yards, nothing over 20 TDs, and maybe like around 7 or more interceptions.
That seems a little low. I think I'd probably go like 3,500 yards, like around 25 touchdowns, and probably 8 interceptions or less. I think he's a pretty cautious quarterback. Like,
I don't think the stats bear that out last year, Eric.
Right, but those – Three of those interceptions, and I'll die by this, were not his fault. They were tipped balls off receivers' hands. And, like, I don't know. It's hard to, like, take away. Plus, like, I don't know. Like, he's a very like, he takes shots, but he's also very cautious. He gets that from Brady. Like, if it's not there, he's not going to force it.
3,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, 15 interceptions.
Damn, that's really high on the interceptions.
Yep. All right. But you have to think he's playing the Rams twice, and I think
that is true.
Yep.
Good secondary is amazing.
He's going to take shots against Patrick Peterson against the Cardinals because they're going to be up in games. He's going to want to take a couple shots just to show off, and he might make a mistake or two.
Right. And that's my estimate without Earl Thomas being in the division. So,
for sure. All right, so let's go around, and for each team here, let's each give a hot take. Let's start with the Rams and Johnners.
I think that the story the last couple of years has been that the offense has been the story, and it's Sean McVay and the stuff that he's doing at Jared Goff's helmet and all that stuff. I think that their defensive line is so great, and they bring in secondary players. I think they're going to change the narrative on the Rams, and it's going to become the defensive powerhouse. And so I think the hot take is that the Rams' defense is going to be the headliner in L.A. Is that even a hot take?
I mean, it's a semi-hot take.
All right, that's as good as I got. Well, I can do something ridiculous and be really hot. Jared Goff is going to fall off the wagon. He's going to throw for 30 interceptions.
What about you, Skyler?
I'd fall off the wagon if Jared Goff did that. I would fall off the wagon. I think my hot take is I think Brandon Cooks is going to flourish in this offense. I think he could go over 1,500 receiving yards, the way they were looking in preseason. And even when I went to training camp, it was like they've been playing their whole life together, how easy these connections were and how beautiful the passes were in the connection. I think it's over 1,500 receiving yards that Brandon Cooks could get with Goff.
Yeah, for sure. I think that my hot take for the Rams is they win less than 12 games. And not by a whole lot, but they do have a really tough schedule, and it wouldn't shock me to see them go like 11-5 or 10-6. But I think they could still win the division with that. 10-6 would be a little more surprising to me, but I think my hot take would be they win less than 12 games.
Eric, my hand is on that take, and it's staying there. Like, it's not burning. My skin's fine. Like, it's like, oh, this is kind of warm. Yeah, this feels
good.
Oh,
dang.
Nice warm.
I thought that was kind of hot.
How many games do you expect him to win?
Like, we'll get to predictions in a second. Okay. I have him at, like, 11-5. Like,
right. No, but, like, you think everybody else has him at 13-3, or what do you think?
I mean, if you look at them on paper, you could make a case for them to go 13-3.
All right. Not a lot of teams go 13-3, but okay.
Right.
Skyler, well, what do you think? Am I being ridiculous here? Do you think they're we'll get to predictions later. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's go with your team, man, Johnners, the Seahawks.
My hot take is that Brandon Marshall will be a playoff participant for the first time ever. This might be wild card. This might be a division winner, but Brandon Marshall's making it to the playoffs.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I kind of like that one. What about you, Skyler?
Seahawks win 5 games or less, and they look into trading Earl Thomas before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I can take that. I don't think that's that hot necessarily, though.
I feel like that's the national consensus on the Seahawks, is that they win 5 games and that Earl Thomas is shipped out.
Yeah, for sure. My hot take on the Seahawks, I'm not even sure if this is this hot. Russell Wilson wins MVP. Like,
he's gonna have to make the playoffs for that to happen.
Like, he also has to beat out Aaron Rodgers.
Like,
okay, here's a second hot take. I think Russell Wilson this year is gonna be as good as Aaron Rodgers. I think that's gonna be the national story, is that now Russell Wilson's one of those guys.
Who else is wide receiver? I want to see that, because I mean, they lost a couple of receivers. I want to see who else on that roster is going to step up.
David Moore flashed on Thursday. Tyler Lockett can take the top off. Doug Baldwin can work in between. And if Brandon Marshall is still a fraction of what he was 3 years ago, then he'll be fine.
Yeah, I kind of like the receiving core a little bit more now. Although, Doug Baldwin's supposed to be ready for week one, but I'm a little bit concerned with him because if he's not at full health, then...
I feel like he's had this injury for the last 3 years, though.
All right. Well, then, I guess maybe I'm wrong. Moving on to our next team. All right, so the Arizona Cardinals. Skyler, I'll start with you.
And this is for hot take for them?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say because there's a lot of media around the Cardinals and what they can and can't do. So a hot take's different. I want to say Larry Fitzgerald has a really good year this year. If Rosen plays, I say he breaks 1,300 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns for the first time in a long time in his career.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Jaunders?
My hot take is that for the first time maybe ever, especially in a long time, Sam Bradford plays 16 games and, yeah, Josh Rosen gets a red shirt to go with his red jersey.
That's hot. That is hot. All right, I am going to go David Johnson returns to being regarded as the number one running back in the league.
That's hot.
Yeah, I think that especially behind kind of a little bit of a suspect O-line.
So he's so good and so much better than Le'Veon Bell that the national media as a whole recognizes David Johnson as being better. Because that's a way bigger hot take than just saying he's better than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
You're saying he's so much better that everybody buys in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
and
yeah.
People take him over Gurley, too. So
yeah, that's a big hot take.
Yeah, for sure. The San Francisco 49ers all start for me, and this is a giveaway to one of my record predictions, the San Francisco 49ers only win 4 games.
Wow. Yeah, mine's kind of in line with that a little bit. Mine is that I'm not saying he will be average, but he'll be perceived as average. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's going to have a little bit of a fall from grace. I still think he'll be above average, but when people build you up so high that when you don't meet those expectations, they're going to try to knock you down. So he'll be a quality starter, but he'll be perceived as just another guy.
All right. What about you, Skyler?
I think I'm going to go off the wagon on this one a little bit because I think it's possible. I think Jimmy Garoppolo could throw more interceptions than touchdowns to start halfway through the season.
Wow. I thought I was being a hot taker. Wow.
More interceptions than touchdowns?
To start the first half of the season, yes.
Hmm. That is really hot. I like that. Applause to you, young sir, for helping. Damn, that is a really hot take.
Eric, like put that in the tweet when you try to sell this podcast on Twitter. Put that in the tweet. Skyler says that Jimmy Garoppolo kills babies or something.
Yeah, for sure. You're really down on Jimmy Garoppolo. All right, so let's move on to record predictions. Let's just go around. I'll start with you, Jaunders. How do you have this division playing out?
I think it's neck and neck with the Seahawks and the Rams. I think the Rams will probably pull it out, probably because they're, their series, the Rams, there's a Seahawks series. I think the Rams will get the better of those. So I think the Rams win the division. Seahawks are second. And then I don't know. Because I think as closely knit as the Seahawks and Rams are, I think the Cardinals and 49ers are right there with each other too. But I don't know. I guess I like what Kyle Shanahan's doing more than Arizona. So I'll put Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals.
Skyler.
I'm going to put Rams up there just because I got to see them. I know what their chemistry is. And going off of last year, they can only get better. I think they could win 13 games this year. Even though they have a tough schedule, I think with their new additions to defense, it's going to make it really tough to score on them. So I think 13-3 is expectation for them as number one. Seahawks, I want to put as number two. I would put them maybe at 8 wins. Go 8-8, go just right under 500. Right above 500 or right at. I'm going to put Cardinals at the bottom of the division, just because I don't have much expectations for them, maybe like 4 or 5 wins, and then San Francisco right there at 6 or 7.
All right, I am going to take the Rams going 11-5, the Seahawks second at 7-9, then the Cardinals at 5-11, and the 49ers at 4-12. That's where I got this team. I think
what would you have to see throughout the rest of the preseason to change your mind on the Seahawks? Or is there anything that they can do to change your mind?
That O-line.
The O-line? Okay, then I would especially watch their third game, because I think that'll be the test for the O-line, because I think they have pieces. Sweezy didn't play last night or Thursday night, and then we only saw Fant and Brown out there for one series together. So I think the third game would be the game to figure out if they have an O-line or not.
Preseason isn't going to change my mind. I'll tell you what would. If Russell Wilson and the offensive line were able to play semi-decently against the Broncos' deep pass rush on that week one, and they were able to win that game and win it by like 10 to 14 points, then I might be like, oh, this team could go 9-7 or 10-6. And I think they very well could. I just have them going 7-9. Like, I think that their floor is this, is 7-9. I don't think they're going to be worse than that. But they could make the playoffs if everything breaks right for them. But they lost too much on defense. And I want to see the young defense come through in the regular season first before I put much stock into them.
Yeah, I like the offense. Russell Wilson's not winning the MVP if they go 7-9. So,
well, that was my hot take. They don't have to correspond necessarily.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me very much.
Can I make one last
point? Yeah, absolutely. Make your points, man.
So I said earlier that I think this is the year that we see Russell Wilson in the same vein as Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and that kind of those tier of quarterback. If you look at the Packers roster, I don't know if you've looked at the Packers roster recently, but if you looked at the Green Bay roster and the Seattle roster, you would take the Seattle roster every time. And so I want the people at home to know, like, that's where I'm coming from, is that, like, I have so much faith in Russell Wilson that's why I think that he can lift a roster up like that. Because you would take Seattle's roster over Green Bay's roster 100 times out of 100.
I'm not sure about the O-line, but I would take Seattle's running backs any day of the week. They never
for sure.
I don't. They never draft a bad running back. They always ship out a good running back. I don't know why they are so good at the scouting on that, but for whatever reason, the rest of the scouting doesn't live up to par as the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, it would not shock me if the Seattle Seahawks end up at like 10-6.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I see them at.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, any big final takeaways that we didn't get off our chest here? I'll start with you, Skyler.
I mean, there's so much emphasis on the Cardinals this year. And like you said, Steve Keim, I mean, what he did definitely put the Cardinals on notice, and not in a good way. There's so much expectation on this Cardinals team. They need to step it up. They need to win games, or I think Steve Keim could be out of here. I mean, all of his drafts have not been exciting. There's not really been a ton of big names that have come from the players he's drafted. So I think this year's really got to be his year with Josh Rosen and getting some wins on the board. Because if he gets another losing season under 5 games, they're going to start thinking of new options there.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a very real possibility with the Arizona Cardinals. All right.
We didn't say Ndamukong Suh's name once. We've only said Aaron Donald's name once. I think that those two interior guys are the best two interior linemen on one defensive line ever, and I think the league should be scared.
So, with Brockers, too, they could even be better. If Brockers plays just as well as he did last year, that's a terrifying defensive line with all three.
Yep.
So, is Aaron Donald going to sign before the season?
No. I was talking on my podcast, Pylon to Pylon, with my guys, and I put out there that I think he could hold out the whole season.
Look at that plug, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jonders. Yeah. That's a perfect segue. Jonders, plug yourself, bro.
Forward Pass Thinking audio content, wherever you get podcasts from. Jonders FPT to catch all my other nonsense on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a good time. Follow both those guys. Skyler, what's your Twitter account?
At the PTP podcast for the podcast, and then at Burkhart Skyler for personal.
Absolutely. Go follow both those guys. Great times. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We will be back on Wednesday with a show, And then again Saturday. We're going to try to keep the schedule up. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks for your time. Peace out.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.